Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 542 of The Pull Bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. I am just coming to you before this episode because this episode was fully edited by Jesse Early from Just Another Comic Review on his Matrix Prime YouTube channel. Jesse and I talked about G.I. Joe, wow. Skybound Entertainment's Duke and Cobra Commander number 1. Jesse did all the editing on this episode, so I just wanted to give that little preamble before we go into the normal TPB stuff. Make your great escape into comics and check out the G.I. Joe stuff Skybound is doing today.
This is Barbecue, and you are listening to Cobra Cast.
Hi, this is Lauren Lester. And you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Jesse Rass. And do you love comic books? Do you have opinions about comic books? Do you like hearing opinions on said comic books? Then you need to make the great escape. And it's a small leap into another world. We call the Pull Bag.
Yo, Joe!
Welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse. I am joined by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And we are here to talk about not one, but two comics today that are also in the Energon universe. We'll be discussing Duke number 1 and Cobra Commander number 1.
Absolutely, absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, once this is all said and done and we have this episode completed, I'm stealing it and putting it on the pull bag over on GeekCastRadio.com because I need content.
Yeah, I was just looking at that actually yesterday. I was seeing what you had pushed out there. And I think you had one in January. Is that right? Early January was the most recent one.
Yeah, it's been slow going.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of health issues that I'm dealing with my brain because it's a whole thing. I'll be fine as far as I know. Like, my brain's not going to pop out of my head yet. But yeah, I find after 15 years podcasting, I'll do it when I can.
Well, don't want to fool you, right? Before we started recording, you said his head might explode, so.
Well, you know, hey, as long as J.J. Abrams isn't writing these comics, I think I'm okay. Because he likes to put exploding chips in people's heads all the time, so.
All right, so let's start with Duke number 1 here. I'm going to read the quick synopsis from Image Comics, as I usually do. And just a heads up, I know this is something I could bring up when we're done talking about this, but I wanted to kind of bring this up right up front. If you go to imagecomics.com, you can actually see because what we're going to be talking about, the Duke miniseries, is a miniseries. It's a 5-issue series. If you go to imagecomics.com, you can actually see all five, the covers for all 5 issues, nice. Which I didn't realize were on there. But yeah, if you head on over there, you can see those. So the synopsis from imagecomics.com is when Conrad S. Hauser, codenamed Duke, investigates the mysteries behind the Transformers, the answers will lead to the birth of forces for good and evil that the world never imagined. Dun, dun, dun. And then my quick rundown here is...
Wait, hold on. Quick rundown is good, but just we got to give the credits. So Joshua Williamson, writer... Tom Riley is the artist, Jordi Belair is the colorist, and Russ Wooten is on letters. The covers were done by Tom Riley, David Aja, Tyler Boss, and Jason Woodry. Wow. And a bunch of other people. Because there's a bunch of... That's what I love about comics, is that when you get a new number one from any comic, you get like a million covers because they want you to... find something that you're going, like, they want you to find a cover that you're going to absolutely love that would make you come back and pick up issue 2, 3, 4, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I know of Joshua Williamson. I know he's done a lot with The Flash at DC and stuff like this, but this is my first time reading his stuff. This is my first time seeing Tom Riley. Obviously, we know Russ from Transformers with the lettering and Jordy, first time for everything on this, but absolutely love it. Like, so far, so great. All right.
Yeah. Good call. Thanks for that. I really jumped over that.
It's okay. All right. Not a problem.
All right. So my quick rundown. So we open with Colonel Hawk talking to Duke about his encounter with Starscream from Transformers number 2. So may be advantageous to read that before reading this. Yeah. The official story is that the jet crash and loss of his partner was an accident, nothing more. Duke leaves Hawk's office in disgust, saying that he will get to the bottom of what the robot jet was. Fast forward 6 months later, Duke arrives at a UFO or alien meeting group, I guess is what that's called, where he meets up with Dr. Adele Burkhart. After hearing Duke's story, she believes that he stumbled upon a high-tech arms race being led by a company called Mars Industry. Duke sneaks into the company factory and discovers war machines that any G.I. Joe fan would recognize being built. Duke is found, beaten up, and thrown out on the street by a guy named Mercer. Mercer wants to kill Duke because he's seen too much, but the head of the company, revealed in the darkness of his office and suspiciously looks similar to Destro, says that that will draw too much attention to their operation. Duke returns to the UFO alien meeting only to discover that everyone has been killed. The armed men open fire on him, but he manages to escape. The issue closes with the U.S. government fearing that Duke has gone rogue, and Hawk calls in Stalker and Rock and Roll to hunt him down. Mm-hmm. So thoughts and review on this issue.
Oh my god. Like, I've told this story a million times in the last 15 years. As a child in 83 and 84, I had a choice between, but by the time 84, obviously, by September 17th of 84, when Transformers came out, I had a choice between G.I. Joe and Transformers. I chose to watch Transformers. I never really got into G.I. Joe. I don't dislike it. I never have. I like a lot of the stuff. And then they had to put him in a coma. Yay. Spoilers, folks, for 1987. But this feels to me like the G.I. Joe that was, and a new beginning for me to be a G.I. Joe fan now. This was cool. This was great. Because when Duke got attacked by Starscream in Transformers number 2, I'm like, oh, damn it. If they really are going to only give Duke one issue of a comic and then either put him in a coma or kill him, because we've talked about this before, the Energon universe isn't shy from killing humans at all. I actually think it's a statement to all of us Transformers fans that say, oh, why are there humans in my Transformers? You don't want humans in your Transformers? We'll have the Transformers kill them. So it's just one of those things where I really dug this. And I know you had said, and you'll get into this with your thoughts, but off air, you were telling me about how something about the art. You didn't like the art, or you, what was your deal with the art? I forget which way you went.
Yeah. So we look at the cover of this issue, right? And I realized that the cover, I don't know what cover we're looking at presently here.
I'm pretty sure that's cover number one, the blue background with Starscream and Duke in the standing there. I'm pretty sure that's the standard. Every person gets that cover kind of.
So is that one by Tom Riley then?
I would have to do a whole bunch of clicking and stuff to
all right. So the reason I ask is, well, I'll get to that in just a second, but in looking at the inside of the cover here, his name is listed first for covers. I would presume this is like your A cover, but maybe I'm wrong there. So if they're going in order of like who designed the covers, my guess is that would be from Tom, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
So I mentioned that or raised that question because I actually like the artwork on the cover. It sort of has like a classic G.I. Joe, at least refers to the cartoon, right? That to me is very similar to the cartoon. Not quite the same, right? His face is a little bit different, but it feels very cartoonish. When you get into the first pages of the comic here, it's almost like a I have not read like old comics. I've looked at comics, but when you look at the one page where it says a man of action, that's almost like a it reminds me very much of like the old Superman cartoon.
Uh-huh.
So whatever era that was, is that like the 40s?
Yeah, Fleischer Superman was the 40s.
Yeah, yep. So like that to me, like he has a very similar look and feel there to kind of like that era of art. But then you like jump into right to the very next page, and it's like, what the hell happened here? This to me, right as we get through the comic, it just feels like a generic, just like any generic like drawing of like any. You walk into like a comic shop now, and you pick up like any comic to me, and it feels like this is just like the generic artwork you would find in a lot of those.
But and that's funny you say that again, ladies and gentlemen. I want to remind the audience that Jesse is like He's just dipping his eyes and ears and things into comics. Like he's like I was 40 years ago. I was a cartoon kid. I wasn't a comics kid. So I understand where you're coming from, but man, do we have differing opinions on this art.
Well, I guess a thing I do want to point out, which I don't know what this is called as it relates to comics or the, you know, comic artwork. But mm-hmm. So to me, again, I feel like the drawings of everybody just is sort of like very generic, but they also, right, they're not like fully colored in with like a solid color. They have like the dots on them, which is mm-hmm. also kind of very old school. And I don't know what that, like what that's called.
Hmm. Give me an example. Like, okay, I'm on the first page. Give me an example of what you're, where are you talking about here that you see like, the dots?
Literally like any page. If you zoom in, like zoom uh-huh. way in,
yeah.
Everything is like made up of dots inside of it.
I mean, I see that on the first panel where Duke is doing his exercises, but that's like part of the background.
It's literally like on every page.
Really? Yeah. You must have a different version, because I don't see that.
Oh yeah, it's like I guess I'll have to send you a picture, but it's like every yeah. I mean, the people do, the backgrounds do. Like I'm currently in the, I don't know what page this is. It's where he's meeting up with the doctor, yep. and they're like in some laboratory/office area,
yep. and okay, he's got a computer
there.
Yep.
So the bottom left of that page, the bottom left panel on that page, like if you zoom in, you can see it on the background there. You can see it on his face and his hair. You can see it on her face, her hair.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So basically, like, okay, so where she says leaving so soon is what you're talking about?
One more page.
Oh, okay. Oh, the computer. Okay, the bottom left. Okay. Yep. So I think that's just to show.
Like, it's a style of artwork, though.
Yeah,
like I don't know what it's called, but I'm not a huge fan of it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, just, and again, folks, we're not trying to be sexist, we're not trying to be misogynistic or anything like that, but just looking at her where she says, but then I started to ask questions about their plans, looking at her face and the way she is drawn and the way her neck, like, it's like Tom Riley needed to define where certain parts of her face and neck are. Like maybe the lines on her forehead are stress lines. Maybe the fact that her neck kind of, it doesn't jut out, but it has a line like right above her blouse where it's like, maybe it's just a definition thing. I don't know. Because at first I was like, what is he talking about? Because all the lines on Duke's face are his facial hair.
Yeah, you know, I'm reading these digitally. I've got it on my iPad.
So
here.
Am I.
I just, yeah. I'm going to send you a picture, like a zoomed in picture of this,
yep.
so you can see it and let me know if you see like the same dots here. Again, it's not just the lines on her face, but all those little dots, right? And those, the dots are like defined in like everything that's drawn throughout the comic.
Okay, I see what you're saying now. Yeah. So what that's. That's a level of zoom that most comic artists are not expecting people to do. Yes, I see that and that. Huh, that's weird. And I don't. Oh, I see it on his face too, and I see it in the background. Oh wow, I don't know, man. Maybe they're digital dots that Cobra Commander's going to take over their faces. It's so I don't know, but that's, you're right. Holy like, crap! I but see
that's
it
like,
now.
That's like. What old style comics used to have. And I feel like it's just like a design choice. And I don't know if that's like called something, like if it's a specific style, but that type sort of style, like I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah.
But the dots aside, right. Even if the dots weren't there, I still am not a big fan of the artwork here. To me, it doesn't seem like it's as big or epic, as rough or kind of gruff as what we see in like the Transformers comic. Which to me would make more sense to actually see it in G.I. Joe.
Let me ask, because I don't know if I've ever asked you this. Do you have you or do you have any family members who have ever been in the military?
I had a grandfather who was. But.
Okay. All right. So for me, I had a couple of uncles, a couple of cousins. My uncle Keith was a Navy CB back in the 90s. He went through Desert Shield, Storm, all that stuff. And every time I read comics that take place in war zones like G.I. Joe and things like that, even though I know this is kind of made up. Like this first page, seeing Duke doing his exercises in the gym, I'm like, oh, okay, it's going to be camouflage. It's going to be the tan camouflage stuff. And the way I look at this is we're seeing him as a character, like when he's in Colonel. And I have to say this now before I forget. I don't know why they made him Colonel Hawk. Like, Colonel Hawk is fine. Hawk is fine. But, like, it was always General Hawk. And just Colonel doesn't roll off my tongue as good as General does. Anyway, but, like, I see all the differences. I see the subtleties in the fact that this is a soldier who is trying to figure out this conspiracy thing. And the art changes when we get to 6 months later. We kind of get a... So the top part there with the 6 months later, it kind of has the same styling of colors. But once we get into the present day of being 6 months later, we have more, they're not muted, more different. It's a different color background. It's not the tan anymore. It's got blacks. It's got greens. It's got, you know, it's to show that the time has passed and he's in a different place. So I am perfectly fine with the colors in this. I thought when you said you didn't like the art style, I mean, some of the action stuff, like when, what's his name? The dude that attacks him.
Mercer.
When he gets Mercer, yeah. Like, first of all, when I saw Mercer, I'm like, what the fuck is X-Men's Colossus doing here?
He's starting the crossover, man.
Yeah. X-Men G.I. Joe coming soon, folks. Not really. But basically on page 19, where Duke gets consumed, I can see why somebody might not like that because it's just a little bit too much. There's too much of the gray as you're seeing Duke get consumed by the soldiers. But overall, I enjoy this. I haven't read any other G.I. Joe stuff other than obviously we'll talk about Cobra Commander later. So, and I have, I take that back. I have read some other G.I. Joe stuff recently, but that was IDW stuff and it was a completely different thing. And I don't know, this art did not turn me off to this book at all, really. It kind of enhanced it for me.
See, and I guess I'm coming at it with a bias. Again, I have, like you, I grew up watching Transformers, not G.I. Joe. Uh-huh. But I have watched, even as a kid, right? I've watched G.I. Joe episodes. I just don't know the series well enough. I don't know the characters well enough to, you know, be able to speak intelligently about it. But in looking at the artwork here and seeing like how they drew Duke, it's like this just does not come off as like the Duke character that I know and that we get like on the cover of the issue.
Yeah.
It just seems like two completely different characters to me.
So when I look at this and I see this. In the beginning, before page five, when he's sitting there in his cell or whatever he's doing, where it says
talking to Hawk, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, he's in Hawk's office. Doesn't mean Jack now. Like, looking at Duke here, I'm like, okay, that's clean shaven, blonde Duke. That's fine. That, you know, he's in his uniform. Great. You know, 6 months and you don't shave, you're going to have, trust me, folks, I don't shave a lot. My girl likes the beard. So it's one of those things where, you know, I get it. After 6 months, if you don't shave, you're going to have facial hair. He doesn't have much. He has very scruffy stuff, but it's at least a different style to show the reader that even though they say in letters 6 months later, you still see that for 6 months, he has been consumed with trying to figure out who this stupid ass robotic jet was. Like, yeah, so I get it.
I mean, but even, I guess even like looking at page 9, for example, like when he's leaving the office there, it's like, so the second panel up from the bottom, like that, mm-hmm. that's like one face right there. But then you look down at the last panel, bottom right, it's like the face looks completely different to me. It's almost like it's different characters. They don't have like a guide that they're following on how he should be drawn throughout this, you know, throughout the issue. That's just what it comes off like to me.
Well, the thing with comics is when they do shots like that, like if you go up in that page a little bit where Duke says, "What did the black box show?" General Hawk is in the background. His face is not going to be as defined as it would be if he was in the foreground. That's the same thing with Duke here, where it says, I have followed every order to the best of my ability, sir. He's not necessarily in the background or foreground. He's just there, and the shot of where he is not showing his face definitively. But then you get that close-up showing. I don't think it's drawing different faces. I think it's just the way the angles are that's throwing you off of the design.
Well, something's certainly throwing me off, and I'm not a fan of this. But yeah, I do like, so again, whatever the dots are called in the artwork, again, that's reminiscent of comics of yore, but even some of the panels where it's like where he's fighting Mercer, and it's like you got like that pink and black and then black and white and like red background, which also feels like very old school comic. Right. I like the look of that. So some of the stuff in here I like. I just don't know that I necessarily like the character designs or the character models that they've come up with for the characters in this issue, I guess.
Yeah. Destro looks evil as hell as always, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know why obscure his face right now. Is it just to say, hey, here's a tease?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. And again, I don't know too much about Destro. Whenever I watch G.I. Joe, it's like, oh, right, he's working with Cobra and Cobra Commander. So I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know what the division of labor there is. I know at some point, like right, even in like the opening theme, it was like at some point they talked about Cobra and Destro together, and then like when they changed the theme song, it's like, well, now it's not. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know the hierarchy or the structure there.
Well, when they changed the theme song, it was a different series. Like when it went from G.I. Joe Real American Hero to...
No, they even changed it within that though.
Oh, did they? I got to go back and watch that show. I don't remember. And yes, the cover A, the Duke Starscream cover is Tom Riley. I've been trying to find like a definitive thing to tell me that it is, but it is, yes. And then everybody else is everybody else. So
even when we get to that final page where it says next issue, Man on the Run, right? And it introduces us to Stalker and Rock and Roll. I feel like that artwork or how those two characters are drawn, completely different type of style than what we get for the rest of this issue.
Well, yeah, because so again, it's, I will say it's time passing. I will say it's events happening. I will say like when we see the whole Destro thing and everything goes red, that's to show that this is Destro's kind of thing. And obviously when Duke comes back and sees all of them dead and the entire page is red, that's to signify that they're all dead, and it was very bloody without actually showing a lot of blood because you changed the color of the background to red. And then, yeah, when we get to the – I mean, I like it. I think it's cool. You got Stalker in one location. You got Rock and Roll in a different location. So they're fighting around the world somewhere. So who knows? But, yeah, no, I still – I found this very enjoyable.
Right. I mean, I get the color choices and color decisions. Mm-hmm. I just wish that the artwork throughout the issue was like the characters were drawn kind of similar to what we see on this last page here. Because to me, looking at Stalker, looking at Rock and Roll, it's a lot grittier type of feel. Yeah. And that's not what I get out of the rest of the issue, in my opinion. The rest of it feels like very cartoony. And I wish it was just a bit grittier.
I think it's going to get – I think what you're used to right now is Starscream ripping people in half. That's what you want, the blood.
I don't even need the blood. I just wish it was like – even like I said, going back to like the first couple of pages here where I realize it's drawn to look older because it's – right, it's showing Duke going through through basic training or whatever and then different missions. Like, I even like that style, but that's not what we get. Like, the very next page, it just feels like it's disjointed because of that. I guess the other thing I would like to mention about this is I also found this to be the case with issue number two, which I know we're not talking about here in this episode. Yeah. But I feel like this story, just like kind of what I mentioned about the artwork, is very disjointed. I don't know how we get from one place to the next. Like the 6 months later, he's like driving around in his Jeep. And then all of a sudden we're at this UFO alien meetup. And now he's talking to this doctor. And like, I have no background on who the doctor is. Like I Googled her while we were talking here. And apparently Dr. Adele Burkhart is a character from like going way back in the G.I. Joe comics. Yep. But I have no idea who she is. We don't get any more information on her here. So it's like, you threw all this stuff at me, but I don't have any background on it.
Well, and again, that's the thing with comics, is that number ones are supposed to pull you in. Number ones are supposed to have you asking these questions. So that way, when issue 2, issue 3, issue 4, and issue 5 come out, you're going to be like, oh, okay, they told me who she is, what she's about. Well, it's a number one issues, whether it's ongoing, miniseries, whatever it is, they're always a giant tease. The one image that I wanted to talk about was I forget where it is in the comic, but it's during the alien meeting. They got little green men piloting them inside the heads. I know it. I'm like, oh, Joshua Williamson, you just made a Headmasters reference. That was the first thing I thought of when I saw the conspiracy theory stuff on there. I think you just have to get used to it, and I think you just have to figure it out as you go along, man. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to say you shouldn't dislike it.
Right.
I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just saying, you know, after all these years, it's like I'm trying to teach you, my son.
Right. You know? So here's the thing, right? So this is a miniseries. It's only 5 issues. I'm going to stick with it. But as you just mentioned, right, issue 1 should pull you in. I don't know that this did that.
It did for me.
All right. Well, I mean, so that's the thing, right? This issue in particular has gotten like praise all around. It's highly reviewed. If you go out on the internet and look at reviews, it's like it's sold out, I believe. I just don't get it. I've reread it a couple of times and I'm like, I don't get it.
So I would have to do a whole bunch of mouse clicking and typing and whatever else and all that. I forget. So 87, was G.I. Joe already over or was it still going? I don't remember. So when they put him in a coma because, G.I. Joe the movie. So the G.I. Joe the movie was past the series. I do know that. So I know that much, folks. So when they put him in the coma.
Yeah, it went to 86.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So 83 to 86. And because I need to go back and rewatch the show, I remember about Duke is, oh my God, Duke's in a coma. That's all I remember. Like, I know he's a good character. I know he's an awesome character. He's a kick-ass. And they mention this in here about certain parts of the military, and they do mention grunts and how Duke is kind of a grunt. And that's fine. He would rather be on the front lines than be in the office, like General Hawk. And I'm going to call him General Hawk, even though they call him Colonel Hawk, because that's, I don't know, it's just in my head. You know, Colonel Hawk is the, you know, one in the office and yada, yada, yada. So that's another thing that I'm interested to find out here with Duke is to actually learn about the character, even though at some point I am going to watch the show because I don't have any attachment to Duke. I have a very loose attachment to the character only because I remember like bits and pieces of watching G.I. Joe as a kid. So I don't know. I always
thought he was the leader of G.I. Joe, and apparently that's not the case.
That's not the case. No, nope.
So he's just essentially leading the team on the battlefield, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He's kind of like the platoon leader on the battlefield, kind of thing. Yep.
Well, I can tell you, whenever I think of Duke in G.I. mm-hmm. Joe, I think of because he provided the voice. I think of Michael Bell's voice for him. But in Absolutely. Looking at the character here in the comic, like I can't put that voice with this character.
It's funny you say that because I didn't put the voice with the character either. And I think for me, again, I'm sorry, folks. I repeat myself a lot. I think it's because I haven't seen the show. Like, I've seen the show, but I haven't seen it in 40 friggin' years. So, like, yeah, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch some G.I. Joe and probably do podcasts about that and whatever else. But, so before we move into Cobra Commander, I wanted to highlight Joshua Williamson's letter in this first issue. And I'm going to do – it's pretty much the second part of the bottom right part of the page. He says, "This will be the G.I. Joe that you know and love, but it will also not be. We can't just repeat what's come before. We took the pieces that we all love and – shined a new modern light on them. We have the room to tell a multi-year story that will take these characters into new directions. It'll allow us to spend more time with the characters themselves and continue to show why this world has stood for the test of time these past 40 years. He goes on to say, my hope is that you see that everything we're doing with Duke and the G.I. Joe world comes from a place of respect for what's come before it. That you join us on this wild roller coaster ride that's familiar yet still new and exciting. There are times we will shock and surprise you, but it's all within the spirit of what made us all fall in love with this world to begin with. As I write this, my own son plays on the ground of my office with some G.I. Joe toys. He loves to play with the Cobra toys the most, like father, like son. Now I'm going to go watch some of the old classic cartoons with him, his old VHS tapes, and that doesn't matter. It's just about us enjoying it together. So I'm liking where he's coming from. I'm liking this direction that they're going. So, hey, if they're going to shock and awe us, I'm all for that. And then Cobra Commander is just a horror story. It's not just a horror story, but they have said that it leans on the edge of horror.
It leans on the edge of something. Speaking of which, let's jump into that. So yeah, topic two here is Cobra Commander number one by Joshua Williamson, Andrea Milana, and Alisa Leone and Russ Wooten. Yep. That guy gets around, huh, Russ?
Hey, look. So Russ Wooten, I never seen his letters before, but he is to Image Comics / Skybound as to what Sean Lee was to IDW. Sean Lee was the letterer on almost everything I read from IDW Publishing. So,
yeah,
you know, and I like that. I like that we have a steady letterer, a letterer that is the same throughout the whole thing. Because again, folks, with my vision issues and everything else, and for those that don't know that are listening or watching from Jesse's wonderful YouTube channel over there, I was born with optic atrophy with nystagmatism. So basically, I'm technically legally blind, even though I can see. So for me, I need to be able to read the letters like we've been talking about, with the letters pages and the creative pages at the beginning. If I can't see it, how the hell am I going to read it on a podcast? Don't use a white background and blue lettering. Please stop that. Knock it off.
Right.
Issue 4. Where is issue 4? Issue 4 is missing. We don't know where it went.
If only we could read it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So I guess what I wanted to highlight here right away before I even jump into the synopsis is that, hey, we've got females on this comic.
Yes. Right?
Two of them, amazing. The artist as well as the colorist, which I don't think we've seen on any of the other Energon universe stuff.
Not yet, but that's cool as hell.
Yeah. So yeah, the quick synopsis here from imagecomics.com. In a world where the Cobra organization hasn't formed, one man's sinister plans to utilize the mysterious alien substance known as Energon sends shockwaves around the globe. Who is Cobra Commander? Where does he come from? And what horrors is he planning to unleash that will rock the world? And maybe the universe? To its core? ? I don't know. So I did put together a quick rundown here, and I think quick is like a misnomer because I don't know that you could do this quickly. So let me say this. If what I'm about to read makes zero sense, it made zero sense to me as I was going through it. So just kind of keep that in mind as you're listening to this. So I'll try to get through this, and I'm going to throw it over to you to maybe you can help explain it here. All right. So my quick rundown is we open in the snowy mountains at a truck stop where a man wearing a hat, trench coat, and silver mask walks into the bar, indicating that he is in need of a vehicle. After a verbal exchange, the trench coat man follows another outside where he murders him and takes his vehicle. A bloody Cobra logo is left in the snow. We cut to some time in the past labeled as, quote unquote, before, to a society of other beings at a place called Cobra Law. A mob of said beings attacks a scientific research facility while yelling, Cobra, la, 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 la. The lead scientist yells for everyone to retreat, but is shot and killed by one of his own who is decked out in a guardsman drab. The mob breaks in and detonates, or sorry, the mob breaks in and detonation by the scientist causes a giant explosion, which critically injures the guardsman. Told through a series of images only, we see the guardsman being treated by scientists, which includes the use of a three-headed snake biting various places of the guardsman's body. Sometime afterward, we see the guardsman recovering with most of his body wrapped in a blue bandage and a new snake-like eye growing above his right, now injured, or sorry, above his now injured right eye. Sitting next to him on a stand is the all too familiar blue helmet with the silver face shield. The guardsman is summoned by Lord Globulus in an attempt to kill him, but the guardsman is victorious. We cut to the guardsman walking into a laboratory. Don't know what point in time this takes place, with the Decepticon leader Megatron restrained and on his knees, where attempts have been made to rip an energy source from his very body. As the guardsman leaves, Megatron is shown being very much alive with an evil grin and kind of one eye damaged, burnt out, something. We close back in the present time with the guardsman talking to a man who is traveling with him. They're on their way to the Everglades to meet up with the Dreadnoks, as the guardsman proclaims that the world will fear Cobra Commander.
That's right.
So that was a rundown, all right.
Yeah, this is, wow. This is good. I enjoyed this. I don't know if I enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed Duke, but I really liked this because, first of all, it's a number one issue. Usually, you want to see origins in number one issues. And the guardsman, as you call him, becomes Cobra Commander. So we see how he became the Cobra Commander we know. That's cool. You say the vehicle he steals, that's a his tank.
You can't call it a his tank.
That's a his tank. I don't care. It's a his tank. I like the art. I like the backgrounds. The only thing, and I'm sorry, Russ. I'm so sorry. The only thing that gets me on this issue is the screaming lettering that he does, like where you say the Cobra logo is left in the snow, like the oh my God, like I did not need the letters that big on the page kind of thing, but I get it. I understand why. Even the Cobra, whatever. Like, okay, I get that. That's fine. And that's okay because in that panel and on that part of the page, it's at the top. It's not in the center. The boom right there. Like, it's kind of center, but it's okay because it's a larger part of the panel, whatever. Right. And again, I'm not sitting here saying negative things about Russ's lettering at all. I'm just saying that sometimes it takes me out of the issue. However, the bang when he gets shot in the head. Oh my, that is amazing. Yeah. You put letters as a background, that works for me. Like, holy crap. That's good.
It almost seems, because it's like the entire background, more impactful than just having the lettering over the top of the the drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's cool. That's good. I like this issue. I think it's fun. I think it's good. It's a nice start. And what have we been, how many Transformers have we done so far? We're up to number four.
Four, yeah.
Yeah, we're four in. We've been asking, where's Megatron? Where's Megatron? Where's Megatron? Well, here's fucking Megatron. So.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, I can say I like the artwork better than Duke. Mm-hmm. So I think the artist here is doing a better job. As it relates to the story, I know you said this is issue number one, but I don't know what the fuck is going on.
So,
like, I don't know. Again, I know nothing about G.I. Joe as it relates to like anything regarding backstory. And I think maybe it changed a little bit for Cobra Commander as this series went on. Like, I think maybe the movie introduced something additional. Is that right?
I honestly could not tell you.
Okay.
I could not tell you at all.
I think, as I know
is this is separate from that. This is not.
Right. Yeah. But I think it's right. At some point they introduced Cobra Law in that. And I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I don't know anything about the background of that or if it's at all similar to what we're seeing here. But like when we're shown the quote unquote before, like it's not identified as Cobra Law. I only know that because it was mentioned like way back here somewhere. Right. And then the group that's like trying to attack the scientific building is yelling the Cobra La 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 La. that we get in like the, in the cartoon too, or the movie, I think is where it was introduced first. But yeah, like I don't know anything about this area. Like I don't know who these people are, these beings are. And it just all seems like too much without having enough backstory for me in issue number one. I know you said it's to kind of, you know, get you to kind of buy into the rest of the series, but I got to have a little bit more than what we got here.
Well, again, both of these series are 5-issue miniseries. They're going to lead somewhere at some point because all stories have to lead somewhere. And I think these are...
They're going to leap right over to Transformers.
Okay, well, yes, but you know what I mean, damn it. I think that the reason why... Like my little headmaster joke. Okay, I got that. That's cool. That's fine. That's whatever. But because neither one of us really have too much experience with the old cartoons, or at least I don't remember having so much experience with them. For me, the way I look at this is a new beginning. This, like, none of that matters. They're doing homages to various things in the cartoon. Sure, fine, whatever. But, like, none of the events that happened in any of the cartoons are here. Like, this is a whole new story. And I like that. And I like learning about that. And I understand your frustration with it being a little slow and not telling you right up front, look, this is what we're doing. That's, again, to pull you in, to get you to buy issue 2. And with your comments where you feel like it's all over the place or you don't know the passage of time. I felt that way too with Cobra more than Duke because, like, Cobra just says, like you've been saying, if I can talk, oh my God, work, brain, work. Like you were saying, it just says before. Whereas Duke, it was like, oh, this is Duke. This is what Duke is going through. And here is Duke 6 months later from the time that you saw him going through what he went through.
Right.
We don't have a specific time. And I think because the way that Cobra Commander number one is set up is it's set up in the present. It goes back to the past and it deals with things in the past. And then at the end, it comes back to the present where he's stealing the his tank and all that. So it's a timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly thing that they don't exactly explain. So I can understand why someone might, and I have problems with, as much as I will recommend you reading IDW, be careful when you're reading some of the IDW Transformers stuff, especially with James Roberts, because as much as I love the man and as awesome as his comics were and are, they do time jumps like it's jumping jacks at times in those books. And I hope that they're not going to start doing that here. And I know this is a completely different company, a completely different team and everything else, but comics in general, they love doing the time jump stuff. And it just takes me out of it. So I can kind of understand that. But I felt the way that this book read was, okay, this is what's going on now. Let me tell you what happened then. And then we're going to bring you back to now, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I guess what I don't get, so when Cobra Commander has defeated the guys that are trying to kill him, he's leaving Globulus, I guess is his name. And he's, the very next page is like he's walking into his laboratory or something somewhere.
Yep.
Presumably because he's wearing like the same clothing, it's like immediately afterwards that's taking place at the same exact time. But we don't have any information that states that. I mean, it could very well just be like, you know, 8 years later.
A day or so. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think if it was 8 years later, they would have said something. At least I hope they
did. And I mean, so on that very next page, I'm looking at page 24, I guess,
okay.
Which is where he's walking into like the giant doors that are sliding open. So that very next panel, it's got like, you know, organic, like, type tree looking things, but they almost look dead, which is why I'm like, I don't know if this is taking place the same exact time as what the Globulus stuff was, because during that time period, like everything was alive on the planet or the region that they're in, the dimension. I have no idea where the hell this place is. But it looks like everything was alive and here it looks like it's potentially dead. And he's trying to get this Energon from Megatron. Yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure either.
What I did want to call out is on page 26 here at the very top, we get an interesting look at what I presume is Cybertron. I've never seen Cybertron drawn that way before.
Yeah.
But we also get, it looks like there's an Insecticon flying on there with one of the cyber jets.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then we get, I forget what they're called, but he looks like Omega Supreme.
Yeah.
I forget what their, what the, that guy's name specifically is called. But yeah, so that's an interesting looking Cybertron, I thought. But yeah, then the Megatron stuff, it's like, so here he's alive, which presumably is the now, because we just saw that it said now. But in Transformers, we saw him in ice right at the end of that issue.
Yeah, so I could be completely wrong, folks. And if Mr. Williamson is listening to this, I'm sorry. I'm assuming, and usually when I assume things, it makes an ass out of myself. But I think because all of these comics started at different points, all of the stories, as we've seen, are at different times. So maybe in Transformers, it's going to be how Cobra Commander discovers Megatron and then gets him to the lab. I don't know, dude. I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, what I am seeing here in the drawings, presumably seeing, is that Megatron has no arms. Not just because because we're not physically seeing them, but if you look at the shoulder joints, it looks like there's nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing there. Plus, Optimus has Megatron's arm now. So.
Right. But again, if that's taking place in the past, right, he could presumably have it if this is the now. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Past, now, then. What is this, Spaceballs?
Did you catch the drawing of Optimus Prime?
No, I did not. Where is that?
So that is on page 27. He's in one of the monitors that Cobra Commander is standing at.
Oh, interesting. Got it.
So in the left monitor is Cybertron with that battle we were just talking about.
And right then, monitor is Optimus Prime. Wow. Yeah. Cobra Commander's on the ball, man.
Yeah, so then I guess, again, I had a very hard time kind of following where we were at in this. I know, again, we've got the now, we've got the before, so that helps out some. But, again, not knowing anything about these stories or these characters specifically, because I don't know a lot about G.I. Joe, and coming in with a bias of me thinking that, oh, you know, G.I. Joe is just like, okay, they're a terrorist organization, they're a group military group.
Special forces, yep.
And they're essentially just battling each other. To me, that seems more like warfare, whereas here it's almost like we've got a whole lot of elements of sci-fi. And I'm not really seeing anything that I would expect to see in like the G.I. Joe cartoon, which again is my really only connection with G.I. Joe.
Right. But again, like I said earlier, you have to throw all of that out the window. Look at,
I know it's very hard to do though.
I understand, but you have to. You have to throw all that out the window. You have to approach this as, okay, if I don't know anything about these characters, these comics, these 10 issues between Duke and Cobra Commander are going to tell me about these characters that are now in this Energon universe and what they're going to be going through. My favorite lines from Joshua Williamson in his letter in this issue. Oh, and as for Megatron, don't worry. It'll take some time. But the leader of the Decepticons will play a big role in the Energon universe very soon.
All right.
I love... Because G.I. Joe is a military and terrorist organization with Cobra and everything else, what I love is these pages at the front and the back where we get the red and the black, and at the back it says, "Caution! The contents of this booklet are confidential. This unauthorized disclosure of information within is prohibited." I love that! That's amazing!
So the Dreadnoks, what do you know about them?
Nothing.
All right.
I know the name, I've heard of them, but I haven't looked into them. And again, that's why I'm loving this, is because I get to learn something new.
I pulled up the Joepedia while you were talking there. It says they're a reprehensible group of mercenaries, vandals, and thieves who've worked for both Zartan and Cobra over the years.
Specializing
in violence and destruction, they have no regard for anyone or anything but themselves and fast money.
Fast money. Oh, boy. It's a family feud of G.I. Joe versus Cobra. Now, that's a family feud episode with Steve Harvey. I'd love to see G.I. Joe on one side, Cobra on the other. That would be crazy. You mentioned earlier about how you didn't hear Michael Bell's voice as Duke.
Yep.
I so heard Chris Latta as Cobra Commander throughout the entire issue. I couldn't get it out of my head.
Yeah, I had a much easier time putting that voice in my head to this character than I did for Duke. I was very similar. Harder to do when I'm looking at him without his helmet off and I got this snake eye above his right eye. But
well, I mean, obviously, but once he gets the helmet on,
right.
It's very easy to talk to Baroness in this kind of voice, even though I can't do a Cobra Commander voice. I know a couple of people that can do a Cobra Commander voice, but that ain't me.
I'm also glad, by the way, that they went with the face shield as opposed to the hood.
Yes. I'm sure they'll bring the hood in at some point. I did like the transition. Like when he gets injured and then they go to do whatever they're doing to him to fix him up or whatever. Like that, the gold hood with the red face, and like I like seeing the evolution of it.
Yeah.
And maybe at some point, maybe in the future of the G.I. Joe comic or whatever, we will see the hooded version. But I have always liked Face Shield Cobra Commander more than hooded Cobra Commander.
I think you and everybody else. All right. The last thing I wanted to ask you about was, so when they are quote unquote fixing him up, rehabilitating him, or whatever they're doing with their science here.
Right.
What do you think the three-headed snake is doing? Like, what? Right. Obviously, it's biting him. We can see that. But what? Yeah. Like, what do you think that is accomplishing? Other than he's Cobra Commander's, right? That's what we know him as. And here we have the snake.
Okay. So, what did you call him earlier?
A guardsman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if he's just a guardsman, if he's just a no-name soldier kind of thing, they need to mold him and create Cobra Commander. So I think that's what the snake and the venom and the this and the that and the whatever, that's what turns him into. It's kind of like taking the skinny ass Jason character or whatever from Batman and Robin and putting all this venom in him and turning him into Bane. Kind of, that's what this reminds me of, because we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And Cobra Commander was not established as a pre-existing character in this unit. They're making him here. This to me is like the one of the many Megatron origins we get in Transformers, where the Constructicons are down under Cybertron building Mega. That's what this reminds me of, is that they are having to create the character here. So the snake venom or the snake biting him is that's what makes him go crazy. I don't know.
Okay. How about if you go to page, what is the page here? Page 15.
Mm-hmm.
What's that little goldfish guy doing swimming around? Cause we never see him again.
Well, it reminds me, Paul, you want a cracker? goldfish.
Yeah, it's like there's like this white glowy orb thing of light,
yeah,
and a little fish swimming around in there.
I think that's him just hallucinating.
Like, I wasn't sure if like he's dreaming, he's hallucinating, if this is an actual physical thing in like his presence, because it's not shown in like any other panel.
Yeah, but the problem. Okay, so the problem I have with this panel. So you see him in the bed.
Yep.
Or whatever this is, because it looks like a bed of rocks. Like, that doesn't look like a pillow behind his head. That looks like a giant ass boulder.
That's a big.
Normally, you would. Yeah. Normally, you would see some sort of, if it's coming from, like, if it's a thought from him, if it's a thought bubble, you would see like a couple. And I know we've talked about dots already, but the white light that's around the fish.
Right.
You would see a couple of white light bubble things coming, like showing coming from his head. So I don't know. And we don't, you're right. Like, he turns to the right to look, but there's nothing there except the helmet. And then he puts the helmet on. So I have no idea what the fish are for.
It's almost like, hey, we need something to hide this helmet until we get to a couple more panels back. What can we do? I know, let's draw a fish.
Something, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it's clearly layered over the top of the helmet. Like, the helmet is definitely there. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that was like an afterthought of like, hey, what can we put here? I know. We'll use Betty over here, who's in my goldfish bowl, and draw him on here. All right. So, yeah, I guess overall closing thoughts on both of these issues?
I'm interested to see where they go. I liked them. I'm not going to not read the next issues, because obviously we're going to cover them. But it's just one of those things where it's a wait and see. It's a thing where you have to figure it out as they go along. So, you know, we'll just have to see. And I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I'm... it's a mixed bag for me. Like, I'm going to keep reading them because I'm interested in... But really what I'm interested in is reading the G.I. Joe series that's going to come out of this. But yep. I think in order to do that, I'm going to need to read these issues here. Do we know when the G.I. Joe series is going to launch?
Ooh, good question.
I guess I still haven't even seen anywhere where it's been stated that after these miniseries, we're going to launch G.I. Joe. Like, I know that's going to happen. I guess I just haven't read that anywhere that it's officially a thing.
I don't know. Who knows, dude? Okay. Just I assume right. that the so if the so the way that comics usually works, if they start with a two miniseries, and I remember seeing on Instagram on one of the reels, I forget if it was Robert Kirkman or if it was Joshua Williamson or whoever it was that was talking about it. The Energon universe is starting out with Void Rivals, Transformers, Duke, and Cobra Commander. That's four. And I remember them saying we only wanted to start with four.
Right.
So that way we don't overload everybody, because you can either do this one or two ways. You can read everything or you can pick and choose, kind of thing. So I'm sure there's going to be a G.I. Joe series at some point.
Yeah, I mean, that's my assumption as well. I think they would – I guess I don't know if it would potentially hurt the other G.I. Joe series that's ongoing.
No, because here's the thing. So Duke is called Duke. Cobra Commander is called Cobra Commander. Those are the miniseries. The G.I. Joe, what are they calling the Hama series?
Real American Hero.
Okay, so G.I. Joe, Real American Hero. That's the title of Larry's series. The new Skybound series that Williamson may end up doing, or when they do it, I'm sure it'll be like, it might just be G.I. Joe, or it might be G.I. Joe, some other subtitle that isn't real. They will define it. It's not going to hurt Larry's series. Larry's series is over 300 issues. You can't. That's a machine you can't kill. Seriously. And I'm saying that as a good thing. IDW had the Larry Hama series, and they did their own G.I. Joe stuff. Look at G.I. Joe World on Fire was a miniseries that IDW did. So, you know, no, I don't think that this is going to hurt that or vice versa.
So, I'm fairly new to reading comics here. So, you know, having multiple – multiple of the same property, even if they're not the same continuity, does not tend to hurt.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Because they're different stories for different people. Specifically to G.I. Joe, the Larry Hama stuff, and I'm sure we've already talked about this off air that we're going to jump into it, but I've never read that series. So I would be starting fresh at 301 with whatever they're doing currently. But no, that's not going to hurt it, because each series, separate series is marked. Dude, don't even get, we would be here all day long for me to tell you about DC and Batman. Batman at one point 10 years ago had seven different series for Bruce Wayne. Batman, like, he's in everything because DC knows that Batman is the moneymaker for them. Right. So it doesn't gives people, again, it gives people the options, but Skybound is starting out slow with our options.
Gotcha.
So that's a good thing.
So if this culminates into a G.I. Joe series, right, we're done with the miniseries, then we'll be back down to three books, right? So then the question,
unless they do a different miniseries.
Right. So then my question for you is then going to be, so if we're only down to three at that point, we get the G.I. Joe series. Do you think they would maybe introduce another Hasbro property into this?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know about that. Because the Energon universe so far is pretty large.
Right.
I mean, you've got Void Rivals and the story that's telling. You've got Transformers and everything that they're going to do with that. And then everything they're going to do, I don't know if the Energon, maybe, who knows, you know.
Yeah, I'm very curious.
It would, Yeah, it would be easy for them, I think, if they have the rights to do so, if they have the permission from Hasbro. It would be easy for them to bring Mask in, because Mask, at one point or another, was a part of G.I. Joe. But again, I'm looking at this as a fresh start. So if we're going to get Mask, it's going to be brand new, not based on anything else, not continuing from anything else kind of thing.
Right. So, and I know nothing about Mask, so so it would be all new to me.
Yeah, it's okay. And that's good, because again, they want new readers.
Right.
Like, thing with this new Energon universe is we are all new to this, even though we know certain parts and certain characters, and we don't know what the stories are going to be. And that's exciting to me.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So, plugs. What do you got to plug?
Oh, boy. My head. Please put a plug in my head. Something. Put something in my head. I don't know. As you folks are listening to this, I will say that in January of this year, episode 540 of The Pullbag, my buddy John M. Wilson and I talked about the journey he took through comics last year. 1 year, 1,000 comics.
That's a lot of comics.
He read 1,000 comics in 2023. So we did that episode. Episode 541 will be what you're listening to here with Duke and Cobra Commander, because like I said before, I'm going to yoink the audio and throw it on the Pullbag feed. After that, we'll probably do an Origins in comic reading with somebody. I don't know if anyone wants to come on the show. Let me know. And then I've got to get with my buddy Joe Reed so we can get back into TMNT for the next two volumes of TMNT Reborn. And then at some point, a new buddy of mine, Adam Ray, and I are going to do Deadpool Does Shakespeare. So that's what's coming up on the Pullbag. The rest of the Geekcast Radio Network, I am not sure. We've got a whole bunch of stuff that's coming up. We've got new All Things Transformers episodes. Steve and I are starting Altered Trek, which we are going through all of our quote-unquote favorite. We're starting with The Next Generation and then going to other favorite things. We're doing Next Generation, DS9, the TNG films, and Picard. So those are the three that we're going to start with, because personally, I cannot stand the original series. You want to talk about okay, so imagine this, folks. And this, again, this is a whole other podcast that we could do about this. But 1987, I was 7 years old. I saw Star Trek The Next Generation. It was the first Star Trek I was ever exposed to. And then later in the 90s, my dad showed me the original Kirk series. And I was kind of like you with the Duke art. Like, what is that? Like, what is this? What the hell? Like, Where's Geordi? Where's Riker? And it's not that I don't like the characters. Like, I love Spock. I love, you know, Dr. McCoy and all that stuff and everything else. But I was never an old school Trekkie. I was an 80s TNG Trekkie. So Altered Trek, I am actually in the midst of, I think I'm on episode 23 of season one of TNG. So Steve and I are going to record that soon, and that will be launching. So yeah, that's pretty much what's going on.
Sweet. Well, if you're listening to this, you may be listening to it in a couple of different places. You might be listening to it on my YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. You might be listening to this on the Geekcast Radio, or you might be listening to this on the new podcast site that I'm trying to get set up. Which I can't share with you yet because I don't know the URL.
matrix.prime.com.
But I will be sharing that out in our next episode of this. So I'll be on the lookout for that. So in addition to the video version, in addition to be able to listening to it on Geekcast Radio, I'm also going to be putting this up on a podcast site that I'm in the process of creating. You can also find me on Blue Sky. I'm at Jesse Early, EARLEY.BSKY.social. Maybe at some point in the future, that'll become more than invite only. I don't know. But at the moment, if anyone wants an invite, I got a whole bunch of them. So
yeah, so do I. I don't use it as much as everything else.
I did create a so for those of you that don't know, you can create your own feeds on there and people can follow those feeds. I created the first Transformer feed on there, and it's got quite a following on there now. So
awesome.
So yeah, if you're interested in following just Transformer specific news, you're on that platform, you can find that feed. It's anything, everything Transformers, from people talking about the comics to custom artwork to people posting the toys and pictures of toys and stuff like that. So check that out if you want. I think that's all I got. Anything else from you?
That's it for me, I think.
All right. Until next time. Goodbye, everyone.
See ya.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullback. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullback and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.